Gracious God, we again come before you to plead with you to help us to hear. You have spoken through your Son, Jesus Christ. You have spoken through your Spirit, giving the Word of God to us. And we want to hear today from you. So would you do that work that only you can do? Encourage our hearts with this great, amazing truth of the resurrection. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus Christ lived a human life perfectly. He died a horrible death undeservedly and rose from the grave victoriously. Amen. This is the good news of the gospel according to 1 Corinthians 15:3-4. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. He did that so that all the mess of everything that has gone wrong since the beginning could be undone. When Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, everything fell apart. Death, disease, and decay became the norm. But Christ came. Amen? Jesus lived and died and rose again to reverse all that death, disease, decay. We spend much time thinking on the cross, and we should. But the resurrection matters just as much as the cross matters. You can't have one without the other. So I want us this morning just briefly consider why the resurrection matters. And I want to give you 7 guarantees about the resurrection that matter for your life. 7 guarantees. This first guarantee is that the resurrection guarantees that this faith is not pointless. It's not pointless. 1 Corinthians 15:17 says, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Futile would be like pointless. If Jesus Christ died on the cross and then just stayed in the grave, Christianity would be absolutely pointless. In fact, Christianity has at least 2 things that set it apart from all other religions in the world. At least 2. One of those is that we have a living Savior. Buddha and Muhammad are in the grave still. But Jesus Christ died and rose again. And this matters because if he's to be a Savior, a dead Savior cannot save. Think about that. If we're going to call him Savior, he's got to be alive. Because there's nothing, we would be without hope, right? He's not dead. He lives right now and rules and reigns. And when those doubts come in your mind, because they will, and they do, about whether this is all for real, you must remember that everything he did for you is guaranteed because of the resurrection, because he rose from the dead. Second guarantee that this resurrection matters for us. It guarantees that our sins have been forgiven. It guarantees that our sins have been forgiven. Look at Romans 4:25. It says that Jesus was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. I said earlier that Christianity has at least 2 things that set it apart. Right? One was that Jesus is alive. The other is this. You can't pay for your own sins. In all other religions, you work your way towards salvation, whatever salvation means in that religion. All of them, you have to do to get. Christianity is not that way. Christianity recognizes our complete inability to save ourselves. Why? We can't save ourselves because of the enormous weight of our sin. You may be here this morning and think, I'm a pretty good person, Paul. I haven't killed anybody. I've never committed any crimes. What are you talking about, the enormous weight of my sin? That's pretty offensive. Well, the thing is, you must remember this, that sin is not simply breaking the law of man. Sin is anything you think, say, feel, or do that is not pleasing to God. And because God says that, says what is sin, even the smallest things, like coveting your neighbor's car, or in my case, his cows, is sin. Even the smallest feeling, seemingly thing to us, me having the feeling of wanting something that is not mine, is sin. You and I cannot even pay for those sins because God is infinite. He's an infinite holy God. And that means any sin, even if it's just a small little white lie, requires infinite punishment. If all you did is one thing wrong in your entire life, that one thing requires an infinite punishment because you've sinned against an infinite God. You see, and you know this, I know this, we're a mess, right? We're a big fat mess. And Christianity says that we are so thoroughly a mess that we need a Savior who would clean us from that mess, who would purify us, make us not that mess. And that's why Jesus came to earth, right? That's why Jesus came to earth. God the Son became a human and lived a perfect life and then went and died on a cross willingly to pay the price for the sin. And that's what the first part of that verse is talking about. Jesus was delivered up for our trespasses. He died for our sins. But the second part of this verse says he was raised for our justification. What does that mean? Well, as I put it up here, justification is a big word that means if you are united to Christ by faith in his work on the cross for you, then God declares a legal verdict of righteousness. Because Jesus died for all your sins. So the resurrection, what this verse is saying, is that God the Father looked on Jesus' death for your sins and said that was enough of a payment, paid in full. And then, because it was paid in full, the Father says, I'm going to raise my son to life. It was a sign. The rising to life is the sign that God said, your sins are forgiven, death is defeated, and you can be with God. So your sins have been forgiven on the cross, and the assurance of that is the resurrection. My question for you, though, this morning is, have you come to Jesus in repentance and faith, believing that message? Repentance means that you recognize that you've not always faithfully, perfectly been thankful for every breath he's given you. There have been times when I've not been thankful for that. And that very unthankfulness is why I deserve punishment. But if you come to Christ and you say, I recognize, I believe, I agree with you, God, that I am undeserving, and there's nothing I could absolutely do to save myself. I deserve the eternal punishment of hell, God, and I'm determined to turn away from my sins. I hate my sins because they are against you. I'm putting all of my hope, all of my eggs, all of my Easter eggs in one basket this morning. There's no plan B. Jesus, you are my only hope. If you have done that, if that describes you today, then the resurrection of Jesus guarantees that God has declared you righteous in Jesus Christ. And if that doesn't describe you today, then today can be the day of salvation. Today, do not wait. Realize this truth. Believe this truth. Say, my sins, I'm turning from them. I hate them. Jesus, you are my only hope of salvation. The third reason that the resurrection matters is this, is that it guarantees a freedom from the power of sin. A freedom from the power of sin. So the resurrection guarantees your forgiveness, justification. It also guarantees a freedom from the power of sin. Romans 6 says this, and this is a long passage, but bear with me. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all, but the life, that resurrection life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourself dead to sin and free to say no every time the temptation comes. Alive to God in Jesus Christ. There's so much packed in those verses, but the one thing I want to just draw your attention to is that the resurrection guarantees that you're no longer a slave of sin. It wasn't enough that Jesus died, he rose, which means you now have resurrection power to say no to the eighth donut. Or whatever that line is of gluttony that you cross. You and I know, right? You have power to say, I don't need that, because Jesus rose from the dead for me. You see, when you're born immediately a slave to sin. And you will sin. Every little baby will sin because they're related to Adam. Every single human is related back to Adam. And this passage teaches us, though, that the work of Jesus dying on the cross and rising from the grave guarantees that those who have repented of their sins and are trusting in Christ to save them are guaranteed freedom from that slavery. The resurrection means you can say no to sin now. You're not a slave anymore. The fourth reason that the resurrection matters is that it guarantees that you are continually forgiven. Continually forgiven. The frustrating thing about being a Christian is that we still sin. It's not like when you first, I talked about repentance and faith, that very first time. It's not like after that, all of a sudden you're sinless. We all know that. This verse here, Hebrews 7:25, teaches that we need that forgiveness continually applied to our hearts. Jesus is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through Jesus, through him, since he always lives. That means he had to be resurrected in order for him to be always living to make intercession for them. We have to constantly come to Christ in repentance and faith. And this verse is teaching that because Jesus always lives, he stands at the right hand of God constantly, forever, perpetually acting as your great high priest, interceding for you, pleading his own blood, saying, yes, Paul messed up again for the millionth time, but his hope is in me and my blood is enough. He continually forgives you. The resurrection guarantees this, because if he wasn't alive, he wouldn't be able to plead for your forgiveness every time. His wounds ever plead for us, the hymn says. His resurrection guarantees that he will never stop forgiving you. You need to hear that. He'll never stop. If your hope's in him, you feel like you've been so far away from God, go back to him and he'll say, take you into his arms and say, I forgive you. I love you. That's why I had to die. But I wanted to do that because I love you. The fifth reason why the resurrection matters is this. It guarantees that you will now be with him in glory. You see, it's not enough that he died for us. We need to be with him forever, right? It's not like he just goes away. We then try to figure out how to make the earth work. It's not going to work. We need to be with him. And this verse that we've read just a few weeks ago, Colossians 3:4 guarantees us that we will be with Christ when he comes back. It says, when Christ, who is your life, appears, you also will appear with him in glory. This verse gives us the assurance that this life is not all that there is. Our forgiveness in Christ and declared righteousness ensures that we can be with God forever. And his resurrection also guarantees that when he comes back, our bodies will be resurrected and made perfect like his. We will appear with him. God saves you, body and soul. Sixth reason why the resurrection matters for us. Sixth reason is that it guarantees the suffering will end. It guarantees the suffering will end. Let me read this long passage again from Paul. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption, all the brokenness, and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know, we feel this in our bones, that creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. That's the resurrection of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that's seen, something you can see, that's not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. So just like all the other passages in the Apostle Paul that he writes, this is jammed packed with a whole bunch of amazing truths, but I want to just draw your attention to one thing in this. One amazing guarantee that comes as a result of the resurrection of Jesus. This is this passage, and I said it as I was reading it, that we can feel in our bones, especially those of us as we get older. It's harder to get up in the morning. I've been sitting for even half an hour, you get up and you're like, oh, why are my hips like this, right? Our own bodies began dying the minute we were born. And every day, we're reminded of some aspect of that suffering that started in Genesis 3. And this verse reminds us that our hope is not in something in this life, but it's in the reversal of all of the groaning of creation, the redemption of our very bodies, not just our souls, but our bodies as well. So everything that you're suffering with internally and being done to you, all of the falling apart of those vehicles out there, all of that principle of physics that everything's falling apart reverses, just like the video did this morning. Did you see that? Everything went bad, and then at the resurrection, that's what happens. Because Jesus died and rose again, when he comes back, all the thorns will be gone. I'm pretty sure the spiders too, but that's up for debate. They may have been by design in the beginning, who knows? But I know pain and suffering and tears will be all wiped away because Jesus rose from the dead. So the seventh reason why the resurrection matters, the seventh guarantee, is that it guarantees that your toil and tears will be worth it. The resurrection guarantees that your toil and tears will be worth it. 1 Corinthians 15 has 58 verses. I'm not going to preach through all of those this morning, but the whole chapter is about the resurrection. And Paul gets to the end of his argument about the resurrection and says this: the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God because of the resurrection, because he just had that in the previous 56 verses. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says this, because of all that, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord, your labor, your toil, your tears is not in vain. For those of you who have been walking this road with Jesus for a long time, you know that there are times when you wonder if it's worth it. When the next relationship is broken, when the next rejection comes, when all your efforts to help point somebody to Jesus fail, you see them just ignore it all. When you see no reward for your efforts, you begin to think, why am I doing this? Especially as a parent, you're going to get to the end of 18 years, get to 18 years, and you realize, wow, did anything really stick? We got to trust God. The Christian brother or sister, struggling mom, tired dad, anxious teenager, when those doubts come into your mind about whether this hard journey of following Christ is worth it, remember that you have this guarantee right here. God says that because he raised his son from the grave, you are guaranteed that all those efforts are not in vain. The resurrection guarantees the reward. I want to conclude this morning with one reason that ties all seven of these together. One reason that why all these things could be guarantees. How is it that those are all guarantees? Well, there's one reason and only one reason. The resurrection of Jesus Christ proves that Jesus is Lord over everything. Because he rose from the grave, he is Lord over everything. It's what Paul's talking about when he says in Philippians 2, 9 through 11, before these verses, he talks about how the Son condescended and came and took on flesh to bear this awful weight. And then it gets to this. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. My friends, the resurrection is possible because he's Lord of every atom. Jesus Christ is Lord. That's the message. When he busts out of that tomb, this is the message. Christ is Lord. We're going to close our service. If I could have the musicians come forward, we're going to be closing our service with singing a song proclaiming just this truth. All of those seven guarantees can happen because he is Lord over everything. And when we get to the bridge, it rejoices in all these things he's Lord over, over fear, over shame, over all anxiety, over troubles and all pain, over sickness and disease. For he reigns on the throne, all praise to him alone, one name over everything, over death, over all sin, over hell, over the grave. Darkness bows and demons flee at the mention of his name. Why? For he reigns on the throne. All praise to him alone, one name over everything.
Stand with us now as we worship in song.